Voice of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. 072-230-072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp number. Got anything to say there, you can say it. While war and conflict inflict suffering on everyone, women are disproportionately affected by forced displacement, destruction of civilian infrastructure, rights and violations, etc. The effects of this violence persists long after peace agreements are signed. It is estimated that close to 90% of current war casualties are civilians, the majority of whom are women and children. In addition to murder and torture, sexual assault and exploitation, including rape and sexual slavery, are all employed as tools of war. Our guest, Yvonne Ridley, is in South Africa as part of the Survivor Campaign launched by Salaam Media, and it's an initiative to raise awareness and support to trauma centers and orphan care in three of the most difficult violence-affected communities in the world: Central African Republic, Myanmar, and in Syria. Yvonne Ridley, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
As somebody who has covered conflict, I'm sure you would agree that one of the most disturbing aspects of it is that women always seem to be used as weapons of war, and rape inevitably comes up as a tool of combat.
Yes, this is very true. I mean, and unfortunately, it's so prolific now that I think rape has become a sign of just how damaged our world has become, and we ourselves are becoming conditioned to look upon rape as something that's maybe not quite normal, but something that isn't that uncommon, and something really horrific has to happen before we sit up and take notice, as we saw just in the last week in Kashmir with the 8-year-old girl who was raped and murdered.
Yeah, the case of Asifa, it certainly hit the headlines, but my fear is that it's going to make the headlines for 5 minutes, and then we ask ourselves the question, what now?
Well, that's right. I mean, the case of Asifa Bano went viral, but only because of the sensational nature of her rape and murder. The reality is, in India, there are 4 rapes every hour. So it's become almost normalized. And of course, as you were saying in your introduction, at a time of war, rape has become a weapon of war. It's part of the arsenal that's used by men.
Yeah, it's really difficult to get one's head around it. On the show, obviously, we have to deal with a lot of conflict. And it's incredible, as you say, how in the last 5 to 6 years, how when I know we're going to cover conflict, I just know that rape is something that's going to come up. And it certainly has become a huge issue in the Central African Republic, which is basically an untold story, Myanmar, which is a told story, and Syria, which, as you know, is a disaster.
That's right, and of course, people also just imagine that it's young girls that are being targeted, when in fact, as we've learned on the Survivor Tour, you know, there are grandmothers who are being targeted, quite elderly women, and not, you know, what people would assume a rape victim would be. And it's and the profile of the rapist as well, you know, we are talking about men who are fathers, grandfathers, uncles, brothers. Certainly the stories coming out of Syria has been absolutely shocking, not only because of the industrial scale of the rape that is going on in Assad's prisons, but because of the perpetrators themselves, who, you know, are men who are family men, who go home on a night time and resume the normalcy of living in a family where there are children and a wife and grandparents.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to understand the schizophrenia that you're basically talking about. Somebody who, walking down the street, maybe in a uniform, looks kind of respectable, as you say, going home to the wife and the kids and food on the stove, yet it's like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. There's another personality under this uniform.
Absolutely. I interviewed one Syrian woman who'd been a victim of rape and abuse during the month that she was in prison in Damascus. And she told me about how she was standing in front of her tormentor. And he interrupted his business to answer the phone, and he was talking to his daughter, and he suddenly morphed from being monster into doting father in a matter of seconds. And once he'd had his conversation with his daughter, he resumed back to being a monster almost at the flick of a switch.
Yeah, it's hard to understand. Do you think, Yvonne, what we need to put out there for people who just might be harboring any illusions, that rape is not per se a sexual crime? It's first and foremost a crime of violence and of totally misguided power.
Well, that's right. I mean, rape has nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with power, control, humiliation, degradation. But, you know, as we said before, it is a weapon of war. But the one thing all these rapists have in common is they all have mothers. And what I would say to anyone listening, you know, what can we do to try and stop this is to start in the home and get our sons to value women outside of the home as much as they value and respect their mothers and their sisters. And we've got to, you know, there is a serious problem. It's a global problem. And the common factor is that 99.9% of the perpetrators are men. And, you know, there's somebody's son.
No, absolutely. This is an anecdotal observation, but I used to travel quite widely in the Arab world. I no longer do it. I have no longer have any desire to do it. But one thing that would always strike me profoundly was the patriarchal nature of the society, almost a dysfunctional patriarchy that comes out of men being totally cut off at the knees by a dictatorship or enjoying no power, no self-esteem in the public space, but in the private space they become these monsters.
Well, there is that explanation in the Arab world, but as I say, you know, you look at a country like India, and again, I suppose that there is a patriarchy in place there. But in South America, during some of the darkest revolutions and rebellions, again, rape was being used as a weapon of war. And so it's I suppose you could use patriarchy as a reason, but it is there are other factors in there as well. I mean, some of the stories that we've had coming out of the Central African Republic involving rape and cannibalism are horrific, and this is something that doesn't get enough publicity in the world today. You know, I guess that the media is so stretched in covering all the wars and conflicts that it's hard to know where to start. But certainly the Central African Republic is a country that has been neglected by the media, and the atrocities meted out on women there are on another scale again.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly are. And, yeah, I'm a bit shy to sort of give examples live on family radio, but as you say, it's horrific that I mean, a woman being abused with broken bottles and stuff like that, it's just absolutely unimaginable, yet it's happening, you know?
This is right. I mean, the what I would say about the Survivor Tour is it's certainly been quite groundbreaking. We're going into communities that don't really want to hear these sort of stories, but they are turning out in large numbers because they do recognize there is a problem. We have to do something. We have to try and help these victims move from victimhood to becoming survivors. And so we're getting an incredible amount of support for a subject which just a few years ago was taboo. You know, you wouldn't have got it being so openly discussed. But here we are today on a family radio discussing a subject that was really swept under the carpet just a few years ago. So, I would say to your listeners, you know, thank you for not switching off. Thank you for tuning in. And also to the people who've been turning out in large numbers. And we had quite an emotional meeting last night in Newcastle Town Hall. And just to symbolize the struggle of women in war zones, an entire room stood up and onto their feet and put their hands in the air as if in shackles and held a period of silence for the victims of rape. It was very, it was a spontaneous thing, but I think that, you know, people realize this is a global problem and we have to come to terms with that and confront it.
Now, Yvonne, to talk about the hashtag Survivor campaign, for somebody who's just tuned in, we're talking to Yvonne Ridley about rape as a weapon of war in places like Central African Republic, Myanmar, and of course Syria. The hashtag Survivor campaign, is it an international campaign? You are in South Africa. Salaam Media are hosting you. This is an international campaign, isn't it?
It is. It started in Istanbul when women from 55 nations gathered to go on a convoy down to the Syrian border to highlight the plight of 7,000 Syrian women who are in Assad's prisons at the moment, enduring rape, abuse, and torture. And by the time the convoy reached its end, there were more than 10,000 women, 55 nations represented, and a really brilliant turnout from South Africa. And the South African Muslim Women's Forum have really embraced the idea and teamed up with Salaam Foundation and Salaam Media to put on this Survivor Tour. And you mentioned Myanmar, and although the Survivor Tour was born from a woman's initiative in Istanbul, I have to say that this particular tour in South Africa is the brainchild of Azad Vardi from Salaam Media, who met rape victims when he went to give out aid in the Rohingya refugee camps. And he was quite devastated by the stories that he heard and the women that he met. And he's, you know, giving a bag of rice to feed a family to sustain them. And he said, you know, when you listen to a woman's tale of how she was gang raped by the Myanmar military, he said, well, you can't just say, oh, well, there's a bag of rice and move on. So, you know, he was moved by this, and the Survivor campaign has happened as a result. But one of the first rape victims that he met was a grandmother. And, you know, you think, what is happening when we can't even protect our elderly, our grandparents, our grandmothers? You know, it was really quite shocking.
No, absolutely. And if anybody listening to us right now wants to make a difference, the Salaam Foundation have got a bank account. It's FNB. The account number is 62669147665. The branch is 250737. And we will leave that account number at the desk. So if you do call Voice of the Cape, we will have that account number for you. The Salaam Foundation supporting hashtag Survivor campaign. Yvonne Ridley, thanks for chatting to us. Everything of the best, and keep the flag flying high.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, and really thank you to your listeners for not switching off. It's, you know, they've had to listen to some very tough stuff in the last few minutes, but it's something that we can't ignore.
Absolutely. Shukran. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.